Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast, as well as the truth, coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High YAH. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G. T-O-N, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled L-A, FAYETTE 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Shalom, shalom, saints. Bless you all. Greetings tonight. Would you all please give me a sound check so I know how I'm coming in, please? Just like to thank you all for being with me tonight. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Praise y'all. Trust everybody. I hope everybody's had a good week so far and making their preparations, coming to the getting ready for the Passover. Getting your hearts right, your spirits right, and your minds right. Getting prayed up. Bringing all your necessary items that you're going to have to bring. If you don't know what you need to bring, check out the YouTube videos that Pastor did. Brother Ugly, would you post a link in there for that too? Where they can just go to your go to the Straightway News page as well too. Hallelujah. Season 10. Praise Yah. Hallelujah. Well, greetings tonight, saints. I'm your host, Deacon Bell, tonight on this edition of the Straightway Truth Radio Broadcast Brothers Edition, Brothers Segment. As you can see from the title of the broad talk is going to be the measuring stick. And I'm sure everybody knows who the measuring stick is. You know, our measuring stick is Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. You know, he's the one that was our example. The Father used his example for us. You know, everything that we couldn't do, he did. And now since he lived that sinful life, you know, he made it possible for us through his blood, through the infilling of the Holy Spirit for us all, so we can, you know, live a righteous life before the Most High, striving, being holy, being perfect, like our Father. Hallelujah. Okay, yeah, I see the tens. Good. Hallelujah. I had a lot of thoughts in my mind before this blog talk. Just on various different things, really, but you know, things that pertain to us as a people. I was looking at the land when I came home briefly. I saw the brothers making preparation for receiving all our family that's coming in. I do pray all y'all make it in safely, without any accidents or any troubles. But I would urge everybody to continue to fight the good fight of faith. Don't give any place to the devil. You know, Pastor preached a good message yesterday. You know, taught us how to keep the adversary at bay, get him out of the way so we can get our prayers through. You know, so we can stop the putting forth of the finger and learn how to approach the Most High. So that our mediator can mediate for us. And the devil won't have no jurisdiction over us or be able to block us from getting what we want from our desires from Yah. One of my thoughts for this particular blog talk, you know, Jeremiah said this over in Jeremiah 10:2. He said, you know, says what the Father said, that thus saith Yahweh, learn not the way of the heathen, you know, the first part of the scripture. Now, when you look at that, I mean, a lot of us have been born heathen. You know, we've been in captivity. You know, we're strangers and foreigners in this land, this country of America. We're captive in it because it's not our true home. Like Pastor pointed out yesterday, our true home is the New Jerusalem. You know, we're ambassadors of the kingdom of Yah. We're not, you know, we don't belong to this country. And they make it pretty known, well known to us that they don't want us here either, or we don't belong to them, you know, because the world loves its own. But we look at the way we think and act and live. You know, we've learned the way of the heathen. We've got it perfected. So now we have to go the other way and unlearn the way of the heathen, stop being heathen. So we can truly be the children of Yah, you know, not walking in our Gentile lives. You know, I think it was on the sister's blog talk. Sister Jennifer said something that Elder Rufus had said to them. You know, that, you know, some of us have lost the fear of Yah. No, not that we've lost the fear of Yah. You know, some of us ain't never had it, or we never had the fear of Yah. And that's a problem in Israel, you know, with the way we carry ourselves and we go forth. We act like, or we live like, think that the Most High does not see us. Which causes us to have that foul behavior that we have at times. You know, if we're really walking in the fear of the Most High, you know, a lot of our ways that we have we wouldn't demonstrate. We wouldn't act like that. We wouldn't be that type of people. We'd be more honorable and more respectful people. You know, first of the Most High, and then of our brothers and sisters, and all men, you know. And then you got to ask yourself, you know, how much difference is there between you and the world? You know, if you got the same heathen mindset that they have, chances are you ain't too far from them, just like them. Over in Ezra 4:2, let me read it. You post that, please. Our second Ezra 4:2, brother. You post that, please. You know, of course, saints, go back and read the whole chapter in context. I'm not going to read it all. I don't plan on being before you long tonight. It reads this. You know, when Ezra prayed, he got an angel that came to him. I'm going to read 4. So Ezra 4. Oh, I lost my spot here. Yeah, Ezra 4:2. And said, thy heart hath gone too far in this world. Thinkest thou to comprehend the way of the Most High? You know what the focus on the part about the heart going too far in this world. You know, when we come into the faith, a lot of us sometimes you know, become very spiritual. And I'm not mocking anybody. You should be spiritual. You know, now you're a new creature in Christ now. You're not the same person you used to be, hallelujah. You know, you've been born again. You've been redeemed, washed in the blood, being transformed. But you know, you are a babe, but at the same time, too. You know, newly converted and everything. And so you're not far removed from the world. You've just taken a step over. The pastor did a demonstration one time. He had a line, and he stepped over it. That's where you are in the kingdom right now. You just made a step into the kingdom, but you're not. You know, a lot of us think that we're, what's the highest mountain in the world? Mount Everest, I believe. A lot of us think as soon as we come into faith, we're on top of Mount Everest. You know, that we don't reach the top already. You know, I know there's a lot of joy and excitement and zeal burning in us, which is good. But then you got to get knowledge and understanding. And but anyway, So, you know, our hearts still have gone too far in this world. And conversion, after you come into the Most High, conversion is a process and it takes time. You know, you have to be reset, retrained, and all that in order to learn how to be a good citizen in the kingdom of heaven. You know, because this world wants us to be good, you know, to take us to their school systems, their public food systems, and the different trainings and everything to get us, to make us citizens in their society. It was to give us the proper education so we'll fit in. Brother Ugly, if you would post verse 20 of 2 Esdras chapter 4. But you know, Ezra was, you know, in his prayer and everything, you know, he's looking at everything. He looked at the state of Israel and, of course, you know, at the state of the world and the heathen, how everything, how they're prospering, and, you know, Israel's still suffering. And also, you look at David over in the book of Psalms, you know, he said his foot, when he saw the prosperity of the wicked, his foot almost slipped. You know, it's like, man, y'all, the wicked get everything. They don't have any pains in their death. You know, they got all kinds of food and their clothes, and they got it all. You know, like you look at Donald Trump, you know, President of the United States, you know, look at him as a man. You know, he got it all. But, you know, when we look at the heathen, you know, we want to judge our righteousness by them. You know, because you look at them through eyes of self-righteousness, like, I'm better than that heathen. I'm better than this person over there. You know, all those types of thoughts and mentalities and attitudes and feelings and all that will go through your being at times. Not everybody, but some people do this. At a given time, you can be given over to it. You just sit down and look around and see people. Oh, damn heathens, man. But, you know, that's a wrong mindset, you know, because we're the ministers to the nations. And don't forget, we came from amongst them. Father drew us out. So we're not much better than them. Only thing we would have got going for us is that we got Yeshua. Y'all had mercy on us. And our heart should be towards, you know, when the opportunity presents, you know, presenting the, giving them, allowing the Father to use us as ministers to bring them in, those who he's calling, not just going around and being an oppression, a spiritual oppression on folks. You know, because I remember when I was a babe, when I converted, I remember going around oppressing everyone, every heathen that came by that didn't know Jesus, trying to bring them in. You know, started with my family. And everything I ministered to them, say to them, was rejected. Of course, it used to make me mad because I was like, man, why don't you want Jesus? What's wrong with y'all? You know, all those types of things that I had to deal with. You know, of course, I didn't realize they weren't rejecting me, but they were rejecting, you know, the Father, but it is what it is. But, you know, having all that zeal, not according to knowledge, you know, going out and not even, you know, letting the Father, you know, really do the work, but I was trying to do it on my own strength and power. And I remember a lot of folks used to hate seeing me come. Or somebody say, don't say that because you're going to get him started, all those kinds of things. And I remember a pastor saying something like that a while back, one of his messages about how, you know, we want to go around preaching to everybody. We sometimes just need to shut up. You know, let the Father be the one to do the work instead of you, just getting you out of the way. And that way we're not shutting up the kingdom from other folk because we become spiritually oppressive to them. But you know, we really need to walk soberly for the Most High. And, you know, we also, you know, we look at the heathen, you know, we'll judge them, we'll judge others. Think about this, saints. Hold on a second. I got a scripture here. Brother Ugly, would you post 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, please? And it reads, oh, wait a minute. Let me go back to Ezra for a minute. When I was talking there, I meant to go there. You know, when Ezra was taught, when in 2 Ezra 4:20, the angel said to him, then answered he me and said, thou hast given the right judgment, but why judgest thou not thyself also? And that's a lot of times, you know, we'll look at the heathen, and we got judgments on them, but we forget about us. You know, even look at your brothers and sisters, you know, you look at the way they may do something or just how they are, and you don't, you know, you make judgments against them, you know, that putting forth of the finger, that yoke, you know, it's going to start in the mind and the heart, you know, doing all that talking within ourselves, you know, judge what they may do, you know, because, let's say, our brother Ugly drinks his cup of coffee with his pinky sticking out, you know, I'm pissed off now, you know, he's wrong, he's wicked, or if my neighbor across the street, because he don't back his car and every time, you know, he's just not a wise man. I mean, you know, could have been he was tired. He just came, as soon as he came home from work, he parked and jumped out and went home and laid down. You know, or he might have been sick and had to go to the bathroom, you know, but, or just, you know, just different things. You can use any scenario you want, like how we may judge something or have something to say about what somebody may do because it don't please us. You know, we want to sit on the throne and be, you know, be Yah in every situation. You know, of course, David didn't exercise himself in matters that was too high for him, I believe it said in Psalms. But, you know, but the angel told the Ezra, you need to judge yourself. You know, you think about the time we're in now, saints. We got Passover coming up. Time of reflection, time of repentance, getting our hearts right, getting clean. But better time, no better time now than to judge ourselves. What was that scripture, Brother Ezra, that told you? Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. And it reads, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." You know, and of course, that's what the one thing we don't need to do. You know, you may see, you know, Just anything, you don't, that's not a wise thing to be. You know, you want to compare yourself, you know, amongst yourselves. Well, hey, well, brother so-and-so's been in the faith for 4 years, you know, and I've only been in it 2, but I wish I could pray like him, or I'm just as good as he is, but yet how come nobody tells me I'm doing anything good or anything right or whatever, but, you know, that brother got better character than you got. You got a better spirit than you got, but you want to compare yourself to him with, you know, just by the time he's been in, if he's been diligent and faithful, he's going to have a good spirit. But if you want to compare yourself to him, that, you know, that's not a wise thing to do. But, you know, that's an anything. And the reason why I want to bring up comparison, you know, because you think about this. You know, a lot of us, you know, we walk very proudly. You know, you see Christians out there, Hebrew Israelites out there, you know, Muslims out, you know, anything in religion you can name out there, you know, we'll see it. And we'll look at them disdainfully or have our own opinions about them, you know, thinking that we're better than them. But yet, at the same time, we're not. You know, because we'll have those thoughts and opinions. You know, comparing ourselves to them, I mean, they don't know Yah. You know Yah. You're a servant of Yah. You're a child of Yah. And, you know, we'll look at them, especially like, let's say, like Christians especially, we'll just use them. You know, they don't keep the commandments. They eat unclean food, lie, steal, just, you know, do everything they bad enough to do. Not just them, but others too. But, you know, we'll focus on them, though. And they do all those things, you know. But, you know, some of them, you know, of course, some of you that are listening, you know, you came out of Christianity. Hallelujah. Yah brought you out. You came out from among them. You came out of her, out of the great whore. But, you know, we'll compare ourselves to them. Say, well, you know, hey, they don't keep the Sabbath day. They don't do this and that. All the things that they don't do. But yet we do. Keep the Sabbath day, don't eat unclean foods. You know, so we're obeying on this side. They're disobeying. It's like this, okay. They obey on this side, and we disobey on this hand. Let's say 5 things. We got 5 things that we're obeying in. They got 5 things they're obeying in. And then we got the 10 things that we're disobeying in. They got the 10 things that they're disobeying in. But who's better? Who's y'all really going to accept? You know, he's going to accept you, children of y'all. Servants of Yah, but at the same time, we'll judge their disobedience, but then we'll forget about ours. You know, we'll condemn them, say, hey, you know, these Christians are wicked. These Muslims are wicked. Yet you forget how wicked you are. You know, you don't judge yourself with that same scrutiny. You don't put that eye on you. Like Teacher Shane said that one on his blog talk, I think it was his last one, he said, you know, we want to go in and, do all this scrutinizing of the word, was that textual criticism we talked about, all those things where we'll check the version of the Bible and all this and that and everything that we do, but and put the place of the Bible and it's you know, it's with mistranslations and all that. There's such deep scrutiny on the word, but that same deep scrutiny, we won't take that same eye that we won't criticize our own text, our own book. We won't look at ourselves with the same type of manner. We won't get that magnifying glass out and see, hey, where's my wickedness at? We won't do that. Or where's my, you know, faults and flaws at? We won't want to do that. We want to, you know, judge everything else and make that and highlight that because we're seeking to insulate ourselves from judgment. And like Pastor always says, a righteous man loves judgment. We should be running to the judgment of Yah. Like even like yesterday's preaching, don't hold back on Jesus. When he comes to him to get clean, just tell him, look, lay it all out there. Tell him everything you done. Confess with your mouth. Tell him those sins, those transgressions, those iniquities that are binding you, that you can't seem to get the victory over. And you wonder why the devil makes it so you can't get a prayer through the heaven's brass. And you're holding out on the king. You can't come. You won't come clean, come honest. Remember blind Bartimaeus? You know, he cried out. People tried to shut him up. And I think he even took off his clothes, you know, but Lion Bottom Ice put it all out there. Say, hey, look, I'm naked. I'm trying to get to the king. Forget y'all. Nothing's gonna stop. And we gotta have the same type of mindset. And I tell you what, let's go. I didn't want to read this. Hold on. Yes, let's go to James chapter 2, verses 1-4. And it reads, my brethren, have not the faith of our Master Jesus Christ. Missed all over here. My brethren, have not the faith of our Master Jesus Christ, the Master of glory, the Lord of glory, which with respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say the poor, stand thou here or sit here under my footstool. Are you then not partial in yourselves, and I become judges of evil thoughts? And one of the definitions for that word partial in the Greek is, pretty much goes with being discriminate. You know, and how much discrimination have we cleansed ourselves from, saints? You know, towards anyone. You know, because that's not part of the fruit of the Spirit. And let me find my scripture here, saints. Got which one I'll have next. Okay. Well, let's go to Luke 18. I'm gonna read verses 9-12. Wait a minute. Yes. Yeah, Luke 18, 9-12. 9-14. And one thing I'd like to interject in our minds, saints, in James 2:13, you know, it reads this. Well, he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. And don't forget, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So all these judgments that we make on others, don't forget, the measure you mete out is going to be meted back to you. So make sure you have mercy. Then don't forget also what the Apocrypha says, you know, receive no man against thy person either. You know, so don't let nobody, you know, what I'm saying follows the way we judge and look at things. I don't mean make yourself a doormat for people either now. You got that, Brother Ugly? James, Luke 18, 9-14. Okay, I see James. Well, hallelujah. I'm going to read. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Anybody guilty of that? Need to get that cleansed out? And two men went into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "Yah, thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess." Where's my description? Well, you know, saints, you fast twice a week. You give your tithes and offerings. And the publican, standing afar off, you know, so he got some respect for y'all, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "Yah, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Which one of you? You know, you look at the Pharisee. I saw myself a lot in that. Especially back in the day, with all my religious zeal. I remember there's a man that I worked with, and he reminded me back in the day. He's an older man too. And he's you could say he's Mr. Christian. You know, very, you know, he's learned a lot of scriptures. Some things he's you know, of course, you know, he looks at Teacher Shane and I. I'm sure, like everybody else, I'm sure he thinks that we're just devils and cultists or whatever. But you know, so he wouldn't dare just to think that that we're servants of the same Yah. And I heard him talking one day, and he's talking about some things that, you know, that I studied and got revelations on. You know, he thinks he got the truth and there's actually a lie, but you know, things that you know, I've got like. Probably learned that probably about 20 years, no, about 15 years ago, like 2000 something. But anyway, you know, no big deal. But you know, when I see him and all his zeal and his religiosity, and it reminds me of a dirty diaper. You know, how many of us are not? You know, how many of us are that dirty diaper? Now, so I'll admit, I was a dirty diaper. I stank up the places I worked in with all my preaching and teaching. I wanted to get in there and try to give the folk. With my, you know, my spirit, especially after I received the Holy Spirit, boy, he couldn't stand. Oh goodness, it lit a fire in me, but it's a fire that had a lot of smoke. You know, you can't breathe. You got a lot of smoke around you. Now you weren't ever a dirty diaper, were you, Brother Ugly? How about you, Brother Dwayne, or Brother Steve, Brother Samuel? Naming all you people in the chat here, and guest 770, and guest number 856, or Brother Rodney. Did you ever stink up anywhere being that dirty diaper, that new convert, with all your religiosity, brothers and sisters, any of y'all? I know I ain't the only one guilty now. So you ain't got to put nothing in the chat. You don't got to say nothing. You have to put yourself out there. I'll just say it. I know I stink a lot. Stink a lot. You know, because of my immaturity, the understanding, a lot of the lack of understanding I didn't have, lack of wisdom. But you know, y'all's good. But I just really want us to really think about how we judge and how we see things. You know, because we gotta get the right perspective. Let me read this another scripture here before I forget about it. It's not on my other paper. Wait a minute. Let me look at this on my notes here too. I tell you, no, I'm gonna go this way. We can go this way. Oh. Mark that off. Okay. We're gonna read. And don't forget about James 2:13 now. Well, he shall have judgment without mercy that showed no mercy, and mercy will give rejoices against judgment. Don't forget about that scripture now. Yeah, I see that, Brother Ugly. I know I was a dirty diaper. I was about a dirty diaper, but I was sure full of. Yes, sir. You guilty too, huh, Brother Rodney? Well, Steve, a daily change. Yeah, they're diaper full of shit. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But we need to learn from our ways and grow too, saints. So, you know, but just things that we need to, just a few things we need to consider. You know, things that could corrupt our hearts. That I really want to make sure we don't go that way. Tell you what, let's go to Genesis chapter 18. We're going to read verses 20 through 33. Hallelujah. Well, bless y'all, saints. I do appreciate y'all being here tonight. Hallelujah. I know some of you probably going to be getting on the road soon, coming down. Just don't bring your dirty diaper with you, please. You know, a lot of these saints are going to be coming, you know. And some of you knew. And I would urge you to, you know, you're going to see saints that are ahead of you in the faith. Don't try to compare yourselves to them. You know, they've come in at different times. They've learned more, they've gained more. Don't worry about trying to compare how much knowledge you got. You know, you don't have to be the most knowledgeable man in the ministry. You know, if you understand what I'm saying, saints, you don't have to be the most knowledgeable man in the ministry. Hold on, brother. I think you might have posted the wrong scripture. Oh, I know you did. Genesis 18:20-33. So don't come trying to impress everybody with how much you think you know. But I'm just gonna look at you and tell you don't know shit. I remember Brother Ernie, the old man that used to live here on this land. Wise old man. You know, he had a saying. I'm sure y'all have heard it by now. How can a piece of shit tell another piece of shit that it's a piece of shit? The first time I heard him say it, I sat there and looked at him. I'm like, what? So he had to break it down to him. But, you know, don't you know, you know, hey, the piece of shit that's speaking, say, hey, you're a piece of shit, man. Well, so are you. Yeah, but I know I stink, but you don't know you stink. That's the difference. But you're a piece of shit, yeah, but you stink. Yeah, so do you. Yeah, I know it. I can smell myself. You don't smell yourself. Pretty much gist up. All right, let's go to Genesis 20, 18. Hold on, can't see. Am I still coming in good? Hallelujah. This is Yahweh with Abraham. And Yahweh said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before Yahweh. And Abram drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Excuse me for a minute, saints. Let me take a quick break. I need to get a drink of water here. And we'll take a break now, a ministry break, and I'll be back.
Shalom. This is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, Your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell, Jr. That's Charles Dowell, Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E. 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Hallelujah, saints. Yes, the King is coming. Hallelujah. I look forward to that great day. All right, we go back to where I was. Let's talk back at verse 23. And Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are within?" You see, and Abraham's making a petition here to Yah. "That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And Yahweh said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes." And Abraham answered and said, "Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto Yahweh, which am but dust and ashes." Getting even humble. "Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, "If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it." And he spake unto him yet again and said, "Peradventure, there should be 40 found there." And he said, "I will not do it for 40's sake." And he said unto him, let not Yahweh be angry, and I will speak, peradventure, there shall 30 be found there. And he said, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." You know, Abraham was getting even more humble as he's speaking to Yahweh, not trying to make the Most High angry. And he said, you know, he's standing in the gap for these people. And he said, "Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto Yahweh, peradventure, there should be 20 found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 20's sake." And he said, "Oh, let not Yahweh be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there." And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake." And Yahweh went his way as soon as he had left communion with Abraham, and Abraham returned into his place. But let's go back. Now, let's place all ourselves there. Let's say, for instance, if this was you know, all of us were included in this, all of the Straightway Truth Ministry. If the Father had to look here upon all of us in that situation, would he find 40 righteous, 50 righteous? Or Pastor Dobby had to talk him down, you know. Father, if we lack 40 and 5, if we only got 30, if we got 10, if we got 20, you know how he took it all, got the Father all the way down to 10. Where would some of us be standing today? Do we got 50 righteous in the ministry? Where's your righteousness at? Does your righteousness reflect on the corruption of the wicked out there that you're around? Or are they comfortable around you? Are you a dirty gray? You know, as far as all, you know what I'm saying? All the black sheep are comfortable when all the white sheep are a dirty gray? Is your righteousness a dirty gray? Do you have any righteousness? Would any city be saved by your righteousness? Something to consider. Let's go to what's my other script ahead? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. No, let's go to 2 Corinthians 13:5. And it reads, you got that, Brother Ugly? 2 Corinthians 13:5. You know, don't forget, when I was talking about self-righteousness earlier, you know, with the Pharisee in the temple, you know, the way we judge other folk at times, how we, you know, look down our prideful nose at them and our arrogancy. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. But I trust that you know that we are not reprobates. One way you can know that, the Father giving you the word, you're still getting convicted. You know you ain't reprobate. And you ain't committed the sin of the sin unto death. You know, a lot of times saints too, many of saints, saint or brother or sister, struggles with this sometimes. You know, they have a hard time making the testimony that they are a son of Yah. You know, you read that over in 1 John, now we've become the sons of Yah. You know, they have a hard time, some people have had a hard time overcoming and making that boast, or affirming who they are in Christ and Yeshua. And I'll tell you, saints, you shouldn't be troubled. And some of you are fearful even coming to take the Passover. If you know your heart is clean, you've done everything you're supposed to do, partake. Come and partake. Oh, let's go to 1 Corinthians 11:20. And don't forget, that's why the Father even hasn't given us this time before the Passover. It's still time of repentance. Like he gave it over in the book of Revelation to Jezebel. I gave her a space to repent, and she repented not. How many of us got space to repent? Are we repenting, or are we repenting not? Are we hardening our heart when we hear his voice? We're going to miss our day of visitation. We're going to get cut off without remedy. You harden not your hearts. The seed engrafted word. Pastor sent forth a lot of the engrafted word yesterday. A lot of good edifying message. Helping us. Strengthening the body. Showing light on the darkness, on some of the darkness within us, helping us to be able to examine ourselves. You know, because the Father don't want none of us to die. None of us. He don't want any of us to perish. You know, you're his children, his sheep. He loves you. Well, draw nigh. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Know who you are in Christ and what he's done for you. All right, let's read. Hold on, wait a minute. Look the right one. Give me one second. Give me one second. Thank you for having me. That scripture right here. Yeah, 11:27. Sorry. Excuse me, brother. 11:27. Wasn't start up there, but it's talking about the Passover and the Master, Jesus taking it. But I want to just skip down to some of this. Skip through some of it. We're going to read verses 27, 28, actually. Well, 28, 29. 27, we'll start verse 1 Corinthians 11, 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Master unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of King James Version says the Lord. Let's go down. But let a man examine himself and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And it reads, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. When we come to eat and drink this Passover, saints, don't come to eating and drinking unworthy. Discern yourself. Make sure your heart's clean. Now it's time to be getting purified. And speaking of judgment, let's go over to. Let me get my page. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:10. You get that, Brother Ugly? 2 Corinthians 5:10. And I'm going to go ahead and read it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Don't forget, we have to give an account. We stand before the Most High, for our King, for Jesus. You got that, Brother Ugly? Okay. And now let's go to let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 8. But you know, speaking about partaking of the Passover, let me read this scripture first. But before we go there, let's go to Revelation chapter 22, verse 11. You get that, Brother Ugly? Revelation 22, verse 11. And I'm going to read. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. So know your state, saints. Know your state. You come before the Most High. We should be in a deep state of reflection, examining before we take this Passover. Now, Brother Ugly, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. And I hope none of you are unjust, and I hope none of you are filthy. But if the tree falls, so shall it lie. And I pray everybody's just, and I pray that everybody's being holy. All All right. Got that one. All right, we'll start with verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with Yah. Ye are Yah's husbandry. Ye are Yah's building, according to the grace of Yah, which is given unto me as a wise master building. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Of course, don't forget, saints, Jesus Christ is our measuring stick. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that you are the temple of Yah, and that the Spirit of Yah dwelleth in you? And if any man defile the temple of Yah, him shall Yah destroy, for the temple of Yah is holy, which temple ye are. Now you think about our work, saints. Are your works going to be burned up? Are your works gold and silver? Or are they wood, hay, and stuff? Get the precious stones? Well, what if you do stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Talk about your works now, your deeds, your actions. What you going to have left after you've been judged by him? You know, he laid the foundation. You know, he's our rock of our salvation. The foundation's been laid. But we're talking about the works. You're going to make it into the kingdom. Are you just going to be saved? You're going to have your garment, and you're going to have a slab to go lay on in the kingdom. You know, like the old saying in the Christian church, you know, we've been working on building a mansion. You know, some people can watch their mansion get burned up right in front of them. You know, the father will say, well, hey, you got a slab over here. Or in your room, all you got a slab, you ain't got no furniture in there, in the mansion, in the house. You know, so we have to think about our actions and our deeds as we live in this body, as we're judging ourselves, examining ourselves. And let's go over to Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. You know, speaking of works, my wife was watching this video the other day. And it was some men singing. You know, they were African. I'm not sure if who they were or whatever. They could have been Christians or whatever. And I don't know what they claimed to be because they didn't say nothing about them. But, you know, they were singing. They're singing in, the native tongue, whatever that is. And but then sometimes they sing in English. And then the one part they got to in the song, one of the men was, he's singing a prayer. You know, they're thinking, you know, of course, you know, the country, they got a lot of wars. You know, it's not like here over in America. You know, we live in a land of unwalled villages, and, you know, we got relative peace over here besides a lot of these set-up shootings and things that are going on. But in the man's prayer, he was thanking the Father for the wars that was going on over there, you know, against all the tribal warfare, inter-tribal warfare. They're thanking for that, for the bullets, the guns, and everything that was, around them. You know, so, you know, made me think they must have a pretty precarious situation they're living in. You know, they're under fire, under the gun. They don't know what they're going to live today. They go to bed tonight, they might get blown up in their sleep. Or they walk out of their house the next day, they might die while they're going to work or trying to go to school or go to the store or something. You know, some type of drive-by, just whatever the situation they got going on in that country. But the men were thanking y'all for that. You know, thanking Yah for all the turmoil, you could say, the unrest and the danger around. And it just made me think, you know, how much we thank Yah for that. You know, we were like, oh, Yah, why is this happening? It shouldn't be happening. No, I'm a child of Yah. I shouldn't have to suffer nothing. I shouldn't have to go through nothing. I shouldn't have to watch my son die, my child, you know, or my grandmother get shot and dead and just left on the street. you know, from any type of situation, you know. But you know, their countries are in chaos, but they can still give thanks. Remember, Joe, the pastor read yesterday, how when you know, the tornado came, the house fell on them, they all died except for that one servant, and Joe fell down and gave thanks. Can we do that? Can you do that? Don't be too quick to answer. It's easy to say yes right now until it happens. Now, I remember listening to an old sermon. The man man was talking, I think it was Jack Cole. I think it was something about you setting your fields on fire, something like that. But anyway, this couple, you know, I think the father called them to repentance quite a few times through, I guess, he must have heard various preachers or whatever, or their pastor, but they would never get right. And at the end of the message, I guess, where he talked, the story is talking about what happened with them, their house caught on fire. And the children was in it. The mother and father went to go get their clothes off the laundry. It was a ways away from the house. They come back, and their daughter was in the window, hair on fire and stuff, and she's hollering out the window, "Mama, the baby. And, of course, the house burned up, and they lost all their children, however many it was. You know, it was really, you know, sad to hear and really convicting when you listen to it. And they went to church that following Sunday, and of course, you know, they went up and get themselves right. And the man saw his pastor. He asked him, "Hey, man, why didn't you make me pray? How come you didn't come to me, whatever, get me to come down here and get right?" And the man said, "I wish I could have gotten you to get right, son, but you wouldn't. You know, you know, he's so full of himself, so stubborn, so rebellious, loving his sin. He wouldn't get right. So y'all had to make him suffer loss. You know, that's my fire. You know, it's, he got judged and he got him to get right. I mean, yeah, it's a horrible thing to experience. I pray nobody had to go through that, but if the Father had to do that to get anybody, he's gonna do it if you're really his. You know, that man had his resistance. Him and his wife had their resistance to the Father. You know, broke him down that way. He humbled him that way. You know, forget about King Nebuchadnezzar, how he got humbled. You know, this great Babylon which I made. And then he got made to eat, you know, be an ox for a while. He got humbled by the Most High Yah. So let's make sure we keep a humble mind too. But let's read Romans 12, 1-3. Chapter 12, verses 1-3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yah, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Yah, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yah. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as Yah hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we're all in a time of humility right now as well. You know, don't boast yourself up, puff yourself up, just stay humble. And humbly allow the Father to help you search your heart and get right. And let's go to let's go to 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from our filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of Yah. That's what we need to be doing, saints. Cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of our flesh, getting our spirits clean, perfecting holiness in the fear of Yah as we continue to grow in His grace, you know, walking out our faith day by day, dying daily. Hallelujah. You don't want to miss out, saints. You don't want to miss out on Yah during these feast days. You know, we ought to be so thankful too that the Father has invited us unto His feast. Because everybody didn't get the invite. you'll see some of them fall off even after they've been invited too, which is a sad thing. But those of you that are remaining, being steadfast, not falling from your own steadfastness, hey, give them thanks for being invited to this feast, this Moedim. Hallelujah. And let's go to Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth what doth Yahweh require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy Yah. But the Father hadn't left us hanging, saints. He's given us direction. We know what to do. If we'll humble ourselves and do it, become obedient, like Jesus did. And now let's go to John chapter 4, verse 23. John chapter 4, verse 23. You got that, Brother Ugly? Of course, saints, read this in context. Oh, hallelujah. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. You know, I was watching another music video. You know, the people were worshiping in it and everything. And the thought came to my mind, like, you're a true worshiper. You know, because you see all this worship going on. You know, you want to look at the people, hey, you know, are they really accepting of y'all? You know, that critical judgment spirit. And then question came back to me. Are you a true worshiper? Do you worship Yahweh in spirit and in truth? You ask yourselves that question, saints? Do you worship the Father in spirit and in truth? Are you a true worshiper? I pray that we all are. Spirit to be with us and be in us. Be filled. I know many of you are coming. Many of you are coming and need healing, deliverance. Come. Be healed, be delivered, be set free. But just make sure your heart's clean. And then don't forget the exhortation that the pastor always puts out, too. He always highlights after Jesus said, you know, after you're healed, after you're delivered, go and sin no more. You know, now we're in the time, this time of Passover. Before the Passover, everybody should be getting their hearts right and getting clean. But don't go out after this, don't go back and run dirty again. Stay holy. Stay righteous. Let's read Revelation 22:11 again. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. So, saints, if you're righteous, be righteous still. If you're holy, be holy still. Keep on striving. Keep continually pressing on into the kingdom. Seeking after Yah, falling hard after him. Let your hearts be indicted in a good matter. And of course, don't forget, you know, we got the on the 28th, we got the weapons training. You know, don't forget to bring your weapons and your ammo. You know, Straightway is not gonna supply it. And also for Passover, too, don't forget the Be a Blessing list. And I think the pastor mentioned about bringing the six-pack, you know, some strong drink, some beer, if you want to have some merry time. So we'll have a good feast, saints. Besides all the things that please the flesh, you know, yeah, it's fine to be merry, saints. But most of all, make sure you bring a right spirit, like Pastor talked about yesterday. You know, get that, you know, that's about creating you a clean heart and renewing you a right spirit. And get the joy of your salvation renewed, too. Because some of you are heavy and depressed. You don't need to be weary and heavy laden, saints. You know, Christ came to give you rest. But seek first the kingdom of Yah and his righteousness, and you will be filled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, saints, that's all I have. But I do have this one last scripture to close with. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yah. Keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. And also it reads, for Yah shall bring every work into judgment, whether with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So let's make sure we keep the fear of Yah on us, saints. Or strive to get it, get more of it. As we, you know, especially we come into these feasts, coming into his presence. You know, we don't want anybody coming in defiled and unclean. When it's time to be clean, don't be the man without the wedding garment when you come here. And you get asked to leave. Because you're unclean. But anyway, saints, I bless you all and love you all. Remember to keep the man of Yah in prayer, our pastor, who we dearly love. Keep him up, continue to uphold him with our prayers, the elders, the heads of assemblies, and one another, saints. And don't forget dad, mother Dow, mom and dad Dow, mother Bullock. I can't remember everybody that's on the list at the moment that we need to pray for, but you all do know them. So let's make sure we just continue our spiritual warfare as well, too. Send it back curses. Let's be faithful in all that, saints. But I do bless you all, and I thank you all for being with me tonight. I love you all, saints. And I bid you all shalom. And may Yah bring you all here safely, those of you who are coming. Brother Steve and Sister Winter, sure would like to get to hug you guys this next someday. But hallelujah, saints. Hallelujah. Bless you all.